This is A Benson Diary by John Murphy, and he starts, as ever, with a poem. I'm not sure I can do this justice, but it's by James Thompson, and it's called Winter from the Seasons. Now, when the cheerless empire of the sky to Capricorn the centaur archer yields, and fierce Aquarius stains the inverted year, hung o'er the farthest verge of heaven, the sun scarce spreads o'er ether the dejected day. Cheerless winter embraces the first 2 months of every year. The short days and cold nights are for many charmless and unloved. For me, it is not quite the case, for I'm a child of February, and my February has ever been a month of birthdays. First, for many of my immediate family, including my late mother, and then later, for many of my dearest and closest friends. It would appear my family and acquaintances are very much in the quiver of fierce Aquarius, and surely in this wettest winter, water carriers must be in high demand. Much of the Tame down to Dorchester and the Thames pretty much from above Abingdon down beyond Wallingford has broken its banks. At Dorchester the flowering mead and graceful willows are engulfed. The Abbey's stony-faced façade watches a watered-down strand on the edge of losing land. Nor is it Dorchester alone. Everywhere water meadows are under water. Car parks have been submerged and become lagoons and lesser pools. Their stiller waters now a haven for waterfowl, for swan and duck, for coot and heron. So much that is familiar, once so lush and green, is now where waters flow. The river's full spate runs fast and furious, not only overcoursing the muddied banks that are barely able to contain their gurgling press, but strangling bridges whose outer arches, fallen into disuse, long abandoned to choking weeds and worse, have been abruptly summoned into active service by the surge. Weirs thunder watery applause at the torrent tumult. Park benches, once a hospitable rest for ramblers, are unmoored and bob barely above the water. If buoys might mark the safe channels for seafarers, these mark the lost river banks. Locks lie partly immersed, half buried in a watery grave. Back roads, once shortcuts to a village pub, are now backwaters where cars are stranded and abandoned. Through the listless grey of January's endlessly rainy days, as the rivers became as grey and troubled as the forbidding skies, our glorious open fields, once a demi-Eden for walkers, became a muddy battlefield where every step felt like a losing charge and every mile a desperate retreat in some ancient war between the elements and humankind. Then came the bitter easterly wind. Its cutting edge carried a sub-zero burn. The mini lakes in the waterlogged fields about the village sparkle freeze, ice rinks for skating birds in chill sunshine. The frozen mud is gracefully dusted with sparkling frost. Underfoot it makes a pleasant crunch, but is no safer than quicksand. A careless step can end in an icy, muddy bog. The hedgerows that dress our country lanes by night are diamond beaded by Jack Frost. They glisten in the morning light. Mornings come earlier in these February days. It will, of course, end, as eventually do all the world's troubles, or at least meld into another greater joy, or another greater trouble, or indeed both. But even at its inhospitable worst, it still owns a majesty. Winged time has sped my chariot beyond the need for birthdays and their keeping and their counting. However, the gifts of this time in my life are those bound with nature, many of which passed me by when I was a busy youth. And if I may put a comment in here, although he talks about cheerless winter, the 28th of February, today, when we record this, was a beautiful day. The sun was warm and the paths are walkable again, so all is well. And John finishes with a poem by William Wordsworth, which is, "My heart leaps up when I behold a rainbow in the sky. So was it when my life began, so is it now I am a man. So be it when I shall grow old, or let me die. The child is father of the man, and I could wish my days to be bound each to each by natural piety.